Spiraling, the Ice Tea Podcast after show, where we spill the tea about things that may or may not be figure skating. My name is Neda.
My name is Megan.
Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
Survey says I'm doing great, Neda.
Is it figure skating today? It's not. It's kind of a little bit.
We are going to be talking about the episode of Celebrity Family Feud that Nathan Chen and his siblings were on back in August, which I have seen and Netta has not. And so we decided to do it as like a play along game for Netta to see how they would have fared against Nathan and the team that his family played against, which we will get into in just a moment.
I'm so excited. I love Family Feud. It's one of my favorite game show formats. I can't watch the Bulgarian version because I hate our host so much. He is just very annoying. So I haven't like really watched Family Feud in a long time. Because I can't, I don't have access to normal or like American Family Feud. So I'm excited to play along at home.
Yeah, Family Feud. I watched a lot of the old 70s version when I was like a teenager because we had Game Show Network for some reason and it was really good, like mindless TV. And I've seen a fair amount, I guess, of the newer ones. I remember when Louis Anderson was host. Like, I remember basically all the hosts in recent years because it's very good, like, homesick from TV viewing. I think Steve Harvey is really funny. I don't really know a lot about him as a person, so like, don't at me if he's a bad person, but I think he's funny. And I think, at least on that show,
I was trying to remember if he's canceled for something, and I'm not sure, so I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah, I also think that the show itself, like, I think that the level of, like, you know, for lack of a better word, like, political correctness of the questions and answers has not changed at all since the 70s. Like, I feel like none of that has been updated. It's all still, like, the world's most, like, heteronormative, like, thing on the entire planet. So, like, pretty much every answer and every question is offensive, and that's just, like, part of it.
Yeah, the Bulgarian version is even worse somehow. It's truly unbearable television. It's, all of it is, like, jokes about your mother-in-law and, like, sexism, and it's very, very bad. But I really enjoy the format of it. I'm always curious about like the stats. And also I used to watch a lot of it when we were in grad school, because while we were in grad school, I lived in a basement where I did have a TV. So I would like put it on, like there would be like reruns on like late at night, and I would go to bed just like absorbing it in my sleep.
Yeah, well, I always sort of wonder, like, who they asked, because I feel like back in the day, they used to ask people, like, in the studio or, like, in the audience, yeah. And now I wonder how that's changed now that we have technology. But it is kind of, like, to get really philosophical about something that's very stupid, it's kind of like any other game show where, to be really good at it, you have to metagame, and rather than thinking of like what are the best answers from your point of view, you have to think of like what would the most people have said.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting strategy game. My favorite part is like the end of like when there is like one winning family and they have to do like the speed round, whatever it's called, you know, like the final thing. It's so interesting to me because that has like the having to think of like what your like family member would have said as well, and like what you can say and all of that. I think it's very interesting. I really love game shows. I don't know if we've talked about that. I really like trivia and game shows.
I don't
think
we have either. I love game shows. I had a weird, like, I think I just mentioned it, like I had a weird Game Show Network phase in high school. But anyway, so I actually did not cover the fast money part of this, because for a few reasons. One, spoilers up front, Nathan Chen's family did not win, so I didn't. And second of all, because I couldn't figure out a way to like ask you, because they don't tell you what all the other possible.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Let's get started. I really want to play.
Okay, so the other thing I'll say that I just thought was interesting is that I haven't watched Family Feud since the pandemic, and they've separated out the little booths that the families stand at. So now they stand at individual little like podiums, which is like interesting. It must be, I don't know, it's weird. You would think that teams would be in a little pod together anyway.
Yeah, you would assume they'd be family. But I understand.
Maybe it's easier to clean. I don't know.
Yeah. I understand it from like a production perspective, I guess.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about this game. So like as we discussed before, it's like an hour long and they do two rounds. So I just watched the Nathan round. Mm-hmm. And so Nathan's team was him and his siblings and four of his siblings, who are all adorable and well-dressed and cute and like just the adorable family. They were playing against Simu Liu, the actor from, mm-hmm. I think it's, is it Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah. He's so good. He's like a Marvel guy. Yeah. He's so good at that film. It's great.
I knew him from Kim's Convenience, which like, I guess everybody in retrospect was like, actually, that was a really racist show. I don't know. I only saw a little bit of it, but he's like very like ripped is what I remember about
him. He is so handsome.
Yeah, and I think he was also vaguely canceled at one point too for reasons I don't really remember.
I don't remember that, but okay, sure.
I think it was this thing of like, there was a moment where somebody had found some old Reddit posts he had made that were like in this very specific genre of MRA world where like Asian men were like talking about like being emasculated but then pushing women down to like take back their masculinity. But like, I kind of don't care what people said on Reddit before they were famous. Like,
God,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. People say stupid shit on the internet all the time. Like,
I mean, I don't remember all the details, but especially him, he was like a normal person who was an accountant and then he decided to quit. And so it's like, he didn't even know he was ever going to be famous.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I'm not here to tell somebody how to process their gender and racial identity.
Yeah,
I don't fucking
God,
know what it's like to be an Asian dude. So, but that kind of was the theme of the episode. I felt like we were getting like very cool, like cool Asians was the theme of the day.
Sure.
So Simu had on his team four of his bros, his friends, one of whom was this guy, Jason, who I want to make sure that's his name. I think I had seen him before, but maybe not. He might have just been like attractive, and sometimes you see attractive people and you're like, I bet I've seen you on TV. And then two guys named Chris who I didn't recognize. And then you want to know who the fucking last person on his team was?
Sure.
It was Steven Lim.
Oh my God. Now that you said that, I remember that I knew about this and then I forgot about it because my brain would have exploded if I remembered.
It was Steven Lim from Watcher, formerly of BuzzFeed.
I love Steven Lim so much.
I love him too. He is like so cute. I think he's like maybe the cutest person in the whole world.
He is very cute and I love his whole deal. And he would never betray me or my trust in a way that a BuzzFeed alum would ever.
Well, so here's the thing. We're recording this a few days after the Try Guys thing, which I don't even want to get into. You've probably heard about it.
Yeah, this is not the episode for this.
Oh, but wait a minute, Netta, because it is.
Oh, no.
Because everything that Steven Lim said on this show aged so hilariously in light of the Try Guys thing.
No.
And we're going to get into that.
I'm thrilled. I should have mixed a drink. When you say Steven Lim, I imagine him doing doing
the bartending.
Too many spirits. Yeah. I imagine him doing a terrible cocktail. I should have made a drink for this, but I didn't, and that's fine. I have a Diet Coke.
So the first thing I want to say is that Steve Harvey loves Nathan Chen. He came out, he like pointed at him and was like, I'm a big fan. And then he introduced the show. And then he introduced him again and was like, he listed all his titles of like gold medalist, 3-time world champion, goes to Yale, studies statistics and data science. And then he said again, like, I'm a huge fan. This kid is so cool. Like he's like loves Nathan Chen.
That is so funny. Also, I was thinking about that while we were preparing for this. I think it's funny that this game is like about like stats and like how many of 100 people did a thing. And Nathan is literally like a statistics kid.
Well, right. And that actually is really funny. I was thinking that and I was thinking like, conversely, so much of this game is like saying something raunchy. And I'm thinking like, how much would that actually hurt him? Because he's probably not supposed to say that stuff on TV. But there were a lot of things that we'll get into that I'm glad he didn't actually have to say from his own mouth. Because I feel like the internet would have had a field day. But anyway, so he introduced him. And then so he and Simu as the team captains approach the middle podiums to do the like, I forget, it's like the toss up or whatever the first thing is called.
Yeah.
And it looked like they had prepared something. And then they do side by side jumps that I think Simu did like a waltz situation. And Nathan did like a nice little axel. And yeah. It was funny because they were like, look, it was exactly the same. It was exactly the same. And it was like, of course it wasn't. And then Steve Harvey was like, and I quote, You was missing a revolution, but otherwise great. And I'm like, this is an evergreen statement. Can we get Steve Harvey saying this
as a soundbite for the pod?
Yes, just at we're gonna get a soundboard like an old school shock jock radio, and it's gonna be just Steve Harvey saying that, and he not me saying it in the whitest way possible.
It was great.
Yeah.
Me watching all of my faves who can't really rotate jumps.
God, right? Yeah. So, okay, are you ready for the first question?
Yes.
Okay. If a wife finds out her husband is cheating, what might he find when he gets home?
A termination letter from his production company.
Yeah, see, okay, right out the gate. Right out the gate. I was like, oh shit. Okay.
I was sorry.
A video of his three best friends, one of whom is dressed really well, kind of rage crying over his betrayal.
A Reddit thread detailing his wrongdoings by the minute.
Oh my God. So do you want to make an earnest guess?
While we're here.
Do you want to make an earnest guess and really play the game?
He might find all of her all of her stuff collected. He might find that she's moved out.
Okay. So
I'm assuming they don't have children in this scenario.
Right? I think this is why I couldn't play this game, because I think too hard about it. I think I'll give you that because it's actually kind of two answers.
Packed luggage.
Yeah, that was the first answer. That's what Simu said, so his team got to play.
Awesome. I'm so sorry.
And then, so it was luggage stuff. There are how many of these answers are there?
One, five, two, right? Three, or
four,
six.
Five, six? I think seven.
Oh, wow. I can keep guessing.
Yeah, let's keep guessing until you miss three.
Okay. And then, oh my God, I'm really playing the game.
Yeah.
Okay. He would find a mess. She was raging and broke things around the house.
Incorrect.
Okay. He would find her just sitting down waiting for him to have a fight.
I'm going to give you that one. Answer number five was a whoopin'.
Yeah, waiting for a fight. And he would find, God, pictures of the affair.
Oh, proof? That's a good answer. Proof. Good answer, good answer.
Good answer, good answer.
Yeah, but it is not on there.
Okay, I have one more. He would find the other woman. In this scenario, his wife finds out and she teams up with the other woman.
They're going to do John Tucker Must Die.
Yes.
Yeah. I love this. This is also not on the board.
God damn it. What is on the board?
Simu Liu's team also did not get all of them. And so then Nathan Chen's team got to steal. And it was so funny because Nathan walked out really very cute and jolly and little he is. And he went, a hitman.
Bless him. Honestly,
and Steve, and Steve Harvey was like, that is not what I expected from this adorable family. And so that was on
the record. I'm having the best time of my life.
Good. I'm glad. So it was on the board in the form of gun/death.
Wow. Wow.
So they won that round. They got to steal that round. Now, what else was on the board? Number seven. I think I'm getting these numbers wrong because they're all fucked up in my notebook. But number seven, fire. I'm gonna say it like an audience, half-heartedly shouting things out. Fire. Number something. New locks.
I was thinking if she left a key or something. That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Good number answer. Three. Empty house.
Yeah.
Number two. Divorce papers.
That quick? Sure.
This is why it's funny, though, is because the person who said divorce papers in the game was Steven Lim, and he was like, I'm sorry to say it, but divorce papers. Aww, and I was like, oh, Steven. You've got a big storm coming, except no, you don't, because you don't work for BuzzFeed anymore, and neither do the Try Guys.
Yeah, but we both know that everyone involved, everyone's been looking at everyone who's ever been in the fucking BuzzFeed building expecting reactions.
For sure. So that was that round. The Chen stole.
Yay.
Now, are you ready for round two?
Yes.
Sharing a bath with your lover is romantic. Sharing a bath with blank is creepy.
Your pet.
That is on there, yeah. Yay. That is number three. Wow. So in this, I think that Simu's team won every single toss-up. Like, I think that they got to play all of them.
Were they just faster?
I think they were just faster, yeah.
I think I know that from Jackie talking about Jeopardy. I think, like, a lot of those games are just about, like, how quick you are to press a button.
I could also be reading into this too much, but I think that Nathan and his family would have had more pressure to, like, not say something bad than, like, all these hotshot bros, most of whom aren't even famous. They're just, like, friends of a famous guy.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, and because a lot of the questions are tricky, I do wonder if Nathan and perhaps his family were, like, I don't want to say anything, like, risque or anything that, like, would get me canceled online. Like, that would be in my head.
Yeah, I would be concerned, especially knowing that our precious fandom is what it is, you know?
Well, yeah, like, every single one of these questions by design is, like, not great. So anyway, so Simu's team got to play again. Pat was on there. Would you like to make more guesses?
Your, like, in-laws.
The in-laws are not on there.
Insane.
I want to make the horrible buzzer sound, but I don't want to break my mic, so we're just going to have to imagine it.
Yeah, let's not do a buzzer noise. Like, any other family member.
You have to be more specific.
Like, your sibling.
Okay. Number two, sibling.
Yay! Am I missing number one? Let me figure out number one.
Yeah, you are. You are.
It is insane to me that this audience would not have said your in-laws. It seems like so obvious.
I don't know how, this is the thing, is, like, I don't know how judging works, because, like, I think, like, number one is parents, and I wonder if they would have given it to you.
I don't know. But yeah.
I don't know either, but let's say they did.
Yay, sure. Good. I don't want to make any more guesses.
Okay. Kids, neighbor, boss. And the fact that... But I need you to know, you know who said coworker?
Oh, no.
It was Stephen Lim.
Did Stephen Lim, like, intuit just the future?
Like, he literally said it would be awkward to take a bath with your coworker.
Well,
and then it was on the board as boss.
What if it's a consensual workplace bath?
I'm so sorry. I just exploded everyone's ears. That was fucking great timing. Yeah,
I
so I'm like,
so
Stephen
bitter,
Lim.
Y'all. I have zero stakes here, but I'm so bitter.
Whew. All right. Well, Simu's team, I think, got that. And it was great because I was like, I know, I'm watching this. I'm sitting watching this, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know that one of the answers is probably kids. And I wouldn't want to be the one to say it because I think that, like, it's like, oh, well, why did you think of that? Are you creepy? And also, like, that's probably controversial because I'm sure there's some people who, like, love to bathe with their kids. And I know in other cultures, like, weirdly, particularly, I think, like, East Asian cultures, it's actually, like, fine and normal. And so that's, like, actually a very loaded one to bring up on, like, the Cool Asians episode. But whatever. So I thought, I was like, who's going to say kids? Because it's on there, but I think it's, like, a weird one. It's a thorny one. And Simu brought it up. He just said it very confidently and simply, no jokes. And I was like, good for you, man. You're very
good,
classy. You're gonna win the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I would assume, like, you could always be like, well, if you're an adult and you have, like, grown kids, that's, like, a whole other, like, situation.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Question number three.
Yay.
Something you hope doesn't come out of you during a kiss.
Oh god. A fart.
A fart is on here. It is on here as toot salute.
Oh no, that's even worse. All of those are gonna be gross, and I don't like body humor. But like, I don't fucking know, girl. Like snot.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll just walk you through this round if you don't want to play it. I feel like that's more interesting. Yeah. So, because it is gross. It is gross. So, first of all, Stephen Lim was the one who was up against Nathan's sister, Alice, who is beautiful, for this, like, toss-up. And Stephen said just very, like, quickly, no nonsense. He just went, barf.
Good for him.
And it was on there, but it was only number 4. And so they asked Alice, go ask Alice, if you will. And she said tears, and that wasn't on there. And then I was like, girl, who hurt you?
But I thought about it as well. That was like the second thing I thought about was like, what if you're crying during a kiss?
But maybe that's
like
romantic.
Tears don't like come out of you. Like I wouldn't say like my tears are like coming out of me.
They do if you're like an anime character and they like spray out like a hose. Yeah,
they're like little like full like when they draw like the little rectangles of blue that are coming out.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. So number one answer was burp.
Oh,
two
God.
Was fart. Three was spit. And that I thought was interesting because nobody
spit
got
will
that
come
one.
Out. Is the thing.
Spit will come out, and that's part of it. And it was funny because he said, because Steve Harvey was like saying the answers no one guessed, and he said spit, and then Nathan was like, I guess.
Oh, God.
Or, like, oh, I don't God. Know if he said, I guess. I think he was like, okay. Like, I think he was skeptical about it. Cause so we're like, good for you, Nathan. You're a good kisser. You understand that sometimes that's part of it.
Like, unless it's like a very dry, like, closed mouth kiss, like, regardless of what you're doing, spit will happen. It's your mouth. There's spit.
I truly have no idea. Okay, yeah. So number 4 was puke. Number 5 was, you're not going to like number 5, so I'm going to skip it. Number 6 was snot, which is what the Chens guessed and stole with, and they got that one, too. They got that whole round, too.
Amazing. My second guess was snot. I'm so smart.
You are, and you're on the same wavelength as the Olympic champion. And then number 7 was gum/food. I will say what the other, if the listeners want to know what the answer is, Netta, just like cover your ears.
That's fine.
Okay, it was tooth.
Oh, God.
Yeah, see, I knew you wouldn't like it because you don't like teeth leaving the mouth.
Yeah, well, it's fine if it's not like forcibly pulled, but like imagine if it's, that is so, I would be so distressed if that happened to me, if I were on the receiving end of it, or if it were my teeth. Like, I don't want to get into it, but that is horrible.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that at all.
Let's not.
The other piece of this that was good / horrible is that before someone said fart, someone said poop.
Oh, no.
And everyone was like, it was everybody on like the bros team was like, yeah, good answer. I bet it's up there. And Steve Harvey's like, poop is not up there. And like, there was this whole thing and then it wasn't up there. And then Simu was like, I'm going to double down on my bro. I'm going to say fart. That's what he meant. And then it was up there. And then the guy who said it was like, that's the same thing. And Steve Harvey was like, that is not the same thing. He said, one of those eventually goes away.
Those are vastly different. Like, it's the same body parts, but it's vastly different as an experience. My God.
Well, and as something that can happen during a kiss in particular.
Yeah. One of the, like, I'm sorry, but, oh God. If you fart during a kiss, there are situations where that might not even, like, be noticed by your partner.
Right.
I think truly don't want to dig more into this.
Yeah. I do just have a note in my notebook forever now that says argument about if poop and fart are the same ? And that's not going away because I wrote it in pen. So great.
Oh, podcasting is fun.
It is great. I use this notebook at work sometimes. Great. Okay. Final question. And at this point, the Chens are well ahead.
My God,
so this is, you know, everything is on the line. Okay.
Yeah.
Question. There's only 4 answers. Something strippers might put on the coffin of a loyal customer as a sign of respect.
A dollar bill.
That is on there.
Yay.
I think the person who answered from Simu's team said panties, and that was number 1.
Yeah, I imagined that would be number 1, but first of all, I'm not an exotic dancer, but I'm a nightlife performer and people do tip me. And I feel like if any of my regular tippers died, I would find it funny to then tip them back at their funeral.
That was my thought too. Like just having like known nightlife performers, I was like, it's gotta be a cash tip, right?
Yeah. And I think it's a funny, like symbolic gesture if that's your relationship with the deceased in this scenario.
And that's what Simu said. And then Steve Harvey was like, oh, you can tell you've been in a strip club. Ha ha
ha.
And then I was like, tip your performers. And it's neither good nor bad to have been in a strip club. Like, it's fine. So anyway, they didn't get the last 2 answers. So then the Chens get a chance to steal. So the Chens come up to the mic Steve Harvey's like, well, I know none of these nice youths has ever been to a strip club. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Nathan Chen walks up to the mic as fucking proud and happy as anything and just goes, one last dance, Steve.
When he dances with himself in La Boheme, it's actually him as an exotic dancer at a funeral.
Oh my God, it all makes sense now. I was like rolling. I was on the floor. I've connected the dots. And it's not even up there. Like, it's not up there. And
they lose the game. That is so fucking funny.
But they won because.
Fucking funny.
Yeah. And I was kind of thinking it too. Like, I honestly thought of lap dance before I thought of either of the other two answers. I also want to give a shout out to Stephen Lim, who said that she might leave a shoe, which I thought was very. I would also think that would have been like a good answer.
Or like lipstick.
Yeah. The other answers, number three was like the words ladies man, which I'm like, is this a reference to something? I like truly have no idea why that would be that popular. Yeah,
I'm lost in the reference, I guess.
Yeah. And then number four was like pictures, which like, I'm like, do people not know what strippers do? Like they're different from like models. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
It's weird to imagine that she had her like Fuji Polaroid camera.
It's like Be Real OnlyFans funeral version.
Oh God, I'm sure many people get buried with nudes.
Yeah, and like eventually we're all buried nude anyway because clothes go away.
We're all born naked, skeletons are forever. Is whatever
is giving a lap dance on a coffin.
One so, last dance, Steve.
One last dance. It was so funny and I loved it. And they were both playing for charity. Nathan's family was playing for figure skating in Harlem.
Oh, amazing.
And even though they didn't win. Steve Harvey announced that they were going to still give them some money, which Hell is yeah. great. And then CMU's team won, I think, like $25,000 for Stop AAPI Hate, which is also a very good cause. Amazing. So everybody wins.
Amazing. I love that. I love celebrity any game shows because I enjoy like the game element of shows. But I always I'm always like worried about the moral implications of when normal people win big sums of cash money, because it's, I mean, obviously it's good to get like a big paycheck, but also there is like the whole thing about like lottery winners and people who win like huge amounts of money and it like fucking ruins their lives. So it's always fun when it's for charity, because I mean the sportsmanship is there and everyone is happy with like regardless of who wins and all of that, which is what I like. And anything competitive is just everyone being pleased at the end.
Yeah, I like it too. I think I like this sort of thing for celebrities. Like, I think a game where coming up with a funny answer is the, kind of the goal. Mm. It's good for celebrities. I used to love watching Hollywood Squares. I think that's like a similar. Did you have that?
I have not. What the fuck is that?
Hollywood Squares was on in the 90s and I think is one of those game shows that was like a reboot of one that had been on in the 70s or something. I just remember being the center square was a big deal, and I think it was usually like Whoopi Goldberg or like somebody really famous, and it was like a tic-tac-toe board kind of thing, but it was like a real thing. And so like if you were like in the top row, you were like up pretty high, and every square was a celebrity, and it was like you were trying to play tic-tac-toe while also like matching your answer to a funny question with what the celebrity said. So it was like match game, but also like, I don't know, it was cute, but I love that.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I used to love that. And it was hosted by Tom Bergeron, who was like a staple of the 90s game show. Mm-hmm. And I think, so I think that is like a good format for celebrities. I don't like Celebrity Jeopardy or celebrity like serious game shows where it's about like nerdy trivia, because it's not that hard and I want to like watch the hardest ones and feel smart.
I will say Bulgaria, back in the day we used to do Celebrity Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which in Bulgarian is not called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, it's just called Become Rich.
I like that. I like that.
It's because they don't win a million. I think they win $100,000. So it's not even close. So the translation is just become rich. But back in the day, they used to do celebrity that. And I enjoyed it because I'm always curious. I don't know if that's insensitive. I'm always interesting about like the charities. And I can't always like support all of them because I'm poor, but I'm always curious about like what people care about and what they choose to like donate to.
Well, and I'm like so cynical about it because I always assume that it's less of a like, this is a charity I care about the most, and more about like, it was chosen for you as something that was like non-offensive, but like nonpartisan. Like it is seen as like a good, safe move for you to donate to like save the whales or something, you know? And so I feel like disproportionately with those, you also get like really toothless charities. But not that the whales don't need saving, they do. But you know what I'm saying? I think it's a lot of like,
Yeah, I think either way it's good whenever, like, any charities get some publicity. But yeah, I don't know. It's always, it's also fun, I think, for example, with, like, Nathan on Family Feud. I think it's funny when you see figures that you're used to in some context in a completely different context. That's always just this amusing to me. Like, I'm used to this person, like, skating and not talking, and now he's, like, cracking jokes and answering questions. That's always like just enjoyable for me personally.
I agree. Nathan has also been tearing up the reality TV circuit because he was on this other show that I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a home makeover, but you gift it to someone like in your life who's really special, like a parent. And I don't know if his episode is aired yet, but he was doing like a home makeover for his mom. And I remember seeing an ad for that and thinking it was so cute. And I like didn't want to watch it, partially because I was going to cry a lot. And partially because I feel like I'm so cynical this episode, but I like don't like home makeover shows because I think HGTV has like kind of made just like one aesthetic. And then every home makeover just becomes that aesthetic now. And I'm sick of shiplap.
Yeah, it's also there's a lot of, again, kind of the same thing with home makeover shows. A lot of people end up losing their homes or like reselling them because they get given like an amount of upgrades that they can't afford to then upkeep, and the value of the houses go up, and it's like a whole thing. I will say, having said all of that, I always cry when people like walk into their new house and it's like different and like that whole thing. Can I go on a real quick tangent while we're
here? Yeah, of course. And before you do, I just want to say, like, I'm sure that, like, Nathan would not let that happen to his mom because he seems very generous with his money and stuff. So I'm sure fine. Yeah. And I hope that if she wanted shiplap, give her the shiplap because she deserves it.
There is, well, two things. This is not my tangent, but there is a Bulgarian makeover show, which is, it's really nice because they pick, like, it's all about, like, families that are really, really, really struggling, and they, like, really help them, like, get their lives back on track and all of that. And it's great, but it's truly become a meme that a woman who hosts it and like is in charge of like the last touches decorating is obsessed with orange towels, and regardless of what happens in every single bathroom, she gives them orange towels, and it's truly driving me insane at this point. It's been like years and years and years. I think she just had like a
Nickelodeon
like someone who gave her a shit ton of orange towels, and she has to put them in every single bathroom. But no, my tangent is, if you haven't seen it on Netflix, the only house makeover show that deserves right is How to Build a Sex Room. I don't know if you've watched it yet.
I don't think we have that on American Netflix, do we? I've never heard of this.
It's in America. It takes place in, I want to say, like, Colorado or something. But the woman
I would not have guessed Colorado.
It's like something insane like that. I want to say Colorado. It's like something crazy. And like there's mountains. So I think that's why I remember it. I might be lying. But it's fascinating for several reasons. First of all, everyone on the show is extremely rich. Like every single one of the couples that's getting a makeover is already like upper middle class or like just like very rich, because if you've gotten to a point where you have the extra room in your house to build a sex room, you're not like struggling for a renovation.
That's my favorite Jack London short story, is to build a sex room.
It's also my favorite song that figure skaters skate to, is to build a sex room.
To build a home, parentheses, with a sex room in it.
Yeah, it's for like spicy seniors. But the woman who hosts it, her name is Melanie Rose, and she is this tiny British lady. I don't want to say she's not old, but she's like a mature woman. And she is just so game to build people their sex rooms. And she like helps them feel more sexually liberated and like brings like purses full of sex toys and brings them to like shibari workshops. And it's fucking camp. It is so funny. And it's actually really interesting because it's like different couples and they all have like different aesthetics, and it's not all about like, you know, all leather and like dungeons and whatever. And it's just a very good, feel good, deeply camp show about home renovations. And I recommend it if you have like a couple hours to kill.
I will definitely check that out. I will say I sort of hope that if Nathan Chen gifted his mom a house, it did not have a sex room, only, not because she doesn't deserve one, but only because it's romantic to build your lover a house with a sex room in it. But it's awkward to build your mom a house with a sex room in it. And that is my Family Feud answer.
Good answer. Good. Here's a, like, we asked 100 Americans, what is awkward to get during your house renovation?
I mean, if the question was what is awkward to put in your mom's house renovation, I think a sex dungeon should be number one, right?
Yeah, like, for what could sure. Be, what? Absolutely fucking kill this bit.
Yeah, kill this episode, frankly. I feel like we're never gonna come up with a better parting line than Nathan just joyfully exclaiming, one last dance.
Steve, one last dance. Honestly, good for Nathan and good for you. And I had truly, this was a dream come true for me. I don't think I'm ever going to be on actual Family Feud, but I enjoyed being my own family here in the studio and playing along.
Be your own family.
Aww. Yeah, if no one else will be your family for Family Feud, become your own family and play with your friends.
Yeah. Family Feud contestants get to pick their family.
Oh, we as gay people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going for. Family Feud contestant is the new euphemism.
Is he, you know,
a Family Feud contestant?
You either die a Family Feud contestant or you live to have a consensual workplace relationship. Kill this bit. Kill this episode.
I want, when I die, I want my casket to be paraded through Family Feud. And I want it to say, she wasn't for everybody, but she was for us.
Good answer. And now that we've dated this episode to the hour on Twitter, thank you all so much for listening. If you're here and you're listening to this, it means that you're helping us keep the lights on in our sex room and in the metaphorical studio. The season is picking up. Things are happening. We're going to be back on main feed truly so soon, and we're so fucking exciting. Anything goes this season, and we're very excited to be slowly but surely coming back. Thank you for your support. We hope you've enjoyed this, and build your own family for your Family Feud.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Build your own family and then have a feud.
Da-da-da, 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 da-da-da.